invite you tonight, take your Bibles and let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter number 25. 2 Chronicles 25. And we've spent a couple of weeks looking at the reign of Amaziah of Judah, and we saw that Amaziah had a reign that started well for the most part, but things were not ending well for him, and that's because he didn't finish well. He got pulled into idolatry. And so tonight, before we go back to the kings of the north, yeah, we got to go back up there, believe it or not. The book of Kings takes us back up north after we get done with Amaziah. So we're going to have to go ahead and deal a little more here with Amaziah's defeat and his death. And I just call this message tonight Amaziah's End. We're going to see the end of Amaziah's reign. And so let's bow in prayer and ask the Lord to meet with us tonight. Father, we just thank you so much for those that have come out. Lord, we pray for those that could not come. And Lord, we know that there's a lot of things that are going on in this world. A lot of as we can read in these missionary letters we just read, Lord, we know it's not just confined to the United States, but also in other countries. And Lord, we know that the devil is at work, but we also know you are at work. And Lord, we just ask that you work in hearts tonight. Lord, we're here to learn from the Word of God, and I pray that, Lord, you'd teach our hearts on this matter of pride. As we look at Amaziah's pride was his downfall, and Lord, we just pray that you would help us, Lord, to avoid pride in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, we will look at this mostly from the 2 Chronicles account because it gives us more information. If you want to turn to the 2 Kings 14, you can, but we're not going to really be over there for anything. All that we want to deal with is found in 2 Chronicles 25. And so let's begin by reminding you of a few things that we've seen, and then I want to expand on that as we look a little closer at Amaziah's defeat. We saw that the beginning of the end for Amaziah was his idolatry. That was the beginning of the end. And we saw last time the stupidity of Amaziah. What was he thinking? Bringing back the gods of Edom from his triumph there and worshiping the gods of the nation that he defeated. Doesn't make any sense, but nevertheless, that's what he did. And so the Lord sent him an unnamed prophet to rebuke him, but in his pride, he wasn't going to be listening to that. He didn't want any part of it. In fact, he even threatened the prophet, and he thought he was above needing to listen to the Lord. Boy, we get in a world of hurt when we think that we don't need to listen to the Word of God anymore. Well, that's where he was at. And so, because of his idolatry and turning a deaf ear to the word of the Lord's hand turned against him. And there in chapter number 25 and verse number 19 and 20, we see that very thing. So look at verse 19. Thou sayest, lo, thou hast smitten the Edomites, and thine heart is lifted thee up to boast. There's the pride. Abide now at home. This is what the king of Israel was telling him. Why shouldest thou meddle to thine hurt, that thou shouldest fall, even thou and Judah with thee? But Amaziah would not hear, for it came of God, that he might deliver them into the hand of their enemies, because they sought after the gods of Edom. So, there we see it, the pride issue of showing its ugly head. And so we saw that the Lord used Amaziah's pride to actually bring him to defeat. If you remember where we left off in our study last time, Amaziah was determined to battle Joash, like we just read right there. And Joash even realized that Amaziah's pride was leading him to do this, and he warned him against doing it. What he was set on doing, he said, "You know, you got your heart set on doing this. You're determined to do it, but you're doing it to your own hurt. And so, nevertheless, Amaziah went to battle against Joash and the armies of Israel, but it didn't go well with him because the Lord delivered Amaziah and his army into the hand of the enemies because of their idolatry. Sometimes, you know, the Lord uses our very sin to bring about chastening in our lives. You know, sometimes all you've got to do is just let sin take its consequences. And that's what we see here. God used Amaziah's pride against him. You know, pride, just by its nature, is going to bring a fall. And so we saw that the Lord used Joash and Israel not only to defeat Amaziah, but to humiliate him. Amaziah was captured by Joash, brought back to Jerusalem to look on while Joash and his army broke down part of the wall of Jerusalem and then seized all the gold and silver and vessels that were found in the house of God, as well as the treasuries of the king's house, along with some hostages, and carried them back to Samaria. And that brings us to where we're at tonight. And I think it's important for us, though, to spend a little more time right here, because the root cause of Amaziah's humiliating defeat was his pride. Idolatry got him there, but it got him in trouble with the Lord, and the Lord had it in end to bring about an end to him, and God just used his pride to bring that about. Now, this calamity that Amaziah brought upon himself and his city actually verifies several of Solomon's proverbs, as well as some of the words of Jesus, James, Peter, and others that we're going to take a look at tonight. I want to deal with this matter of pride in Amaziah's end. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 6, if you will, and we'll have you flip through these that I'm going to go through in the book of Proverbs, because they're easily accessed, one right after the other. We all in the same book. But I want you to see what Solomon had to say. And of course, he's part of Solomon's seed. And had he paid attention to what Solomon penned in Proverbs, he should have known better than to allow pride to get him where he was at. Proverbs 6 and verse number 16 says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him." And the very first thing on the list, a proud look. Yeah. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I can't find anywhere in Scripture where God has anything good to say about pride. And you can correct, and I've never had anybody correct me in all the years of my ministry, because it's not in there. There's nothing good about pride. And I know a lot of times we'll use that word pride when we're talking about, you know, well, I'm proud of my grandchildren. Well, you know, it'd be a lot better if we would just say, you know, I praise the Lord that my grandchildren are thus so, rather than say, I'm proud. You know, we ought really to kind of steer away from that proud, using that word proud and using pride and having referring to pride being our life. Now, look at Proverbs chapter number 11. Proverbs chapter number 11 and verse number 2. Proverbs 11 and verse number 2. We see here, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame." Well, yeah, it did, didn't it? Amaziah had his pride come, and then what happened? He got humiliated. And so that verse proved itself out in his life. Look at Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 and verse number 18. Proverbs 16, verse 18. "Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall." Well, it was never truer than in Amaziah's life. I mean, he was bent on doing what he was going to do. And he wasn't going to listen to a man of God. He wasn't going to listen to the enemy. He wasn't going to listen to anybody. His pride went before and brought about his destruction. Look at Proverbs 18 and verse number 12. Proverbs 18, verse number 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. And we can say, yes, Amaziah, before he found his end, before Judah was brought down to their knees, it was because of his pride. He was haughty. Look at Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29 and verse number 23. Proverbs 29 and verse number 23. Says here, a man's pride shall bring him low. Well, you can't get much lower, I don't think, than Amaziah was, being humiliated like he was in front of his people, you know, to have and also in front of the enemy, to have the enemy just kind of rub your nose in it. That's really what the king of the north was doing to him, just kind of rubbing his nose in it and said, I want you to see what I'm going to do to your nation because you didn't listen. And so we see that it brought him low. And in Proverbs 25 and verse number 8, I want you to hear, this is a one that talks about striving. Proverbs 25 verse number 8 says, go not forth hastily to strive. Well, Amaziah did that, didn't he? He went forth hastily to strive. He was eager to have a face-to-face meeting with the king of Israel. And he said, go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Well, that just all played out right in Amaziah's life. But it could have been avoided had he just listened to God. You know, Solomon wrote these Proverbs under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he failed to listen to the Lord. He failed to listen to the man of God that was sent to him. And so, really, he deserved what he got. We know that Jesus also confirmed this about pride. In Luke 14, verse 11, you don't have to turn there, but Luke 14, 11 says, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. And Amaziah did exalt himself, and he was abased. It says, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Well, James and Peter reiterated themselves about this matter of pride. James 4, 6 says that God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Well, Peter says the very same words, pretty much, except we'll change one word. Instead of but giveth grace, he says and giveth grace. He says God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble in 1 Peter 5, 5. And then James said, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up in James 4, 10. And then Peter said something very similar in 1 Peter 5, 6. He said, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Had Amaziah just taken time to humble himself before the Lord and say, you know, I'm going in the wrong direction. My idolatry has been wicked. I didn't have any business bringing those gods. You think God would have had mercy on him? Yeah. Yeah. He could have found repentance. If he could have found repentance, he could have found forgiveness. Look at Isaiah 14. And of course, when I was talking about testimony of others, confirms this about pride. We hear the words of the Lord through Isaiah, penned by Isaiah, about the pride of Lucifer, the pride of the Satan himself, the devil. Isaiah 14 in verse number 12. Isaiah 14 in verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said, and here's the pride, thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation and the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and to shake kingdoms? You know, I know Satan is, you know, having his heyday right now, but, you know, he's going to be so humble and humiliated when the Lord gets done with him. Look at Daniel chapter number 4. Daniel chapter number 4, we're going to be in Daniel 4 and Daniel 5. Let you turn there. Daniel chapter number 4, and we see the words of Nebuchadnezzar regarding pride and where it can take you and where it does take you. In Daniel 4 and verse number 37, of course we know the story of Nebuchadnezzar, how Daniel even warned him that this time was going to come. In the vision that he had had, in Daniel's interpretation of the vision, he warned him, and then, of course, Nebuchadnezzar didn't listen, but he showed forth his pride there in Daniel 4, verse number 30. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? And then in the next verse says that while it was that word was right in his mouth, the kingdom departed from him. He was like a creature, really abased in a great way. When God got through with him, look down in verse number 37, he acknowledges this. And this is a heathen king that says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, there it is, those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. He knows that because the Lord humbled him. Well, he had a grandson by the name of Belshazzar. Belshazzar decided, I'm the big shot. I'm going to do what I want to do. And so he decided that all those vessels that were brought from the temple when his grandfather invaded Judah, that he figured, well, we're going to party with those vessels. And he and his entourage did that very thing. And we know that a writing came on the wall, and Daniel came in to give him an interpretation. And Daniel 5:20 is what I want you to see. Daniel 5:20 says, but when... This is speaking of Nebuchadnezzar, okay? He's talking to Belshazzar about his grandfather. It says Daniel. It says, but when his heart, Daniel 5:20, when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne. In other words, the pride is what brought him down. The heart being lifted up and mind hardened in pride. Look down in verse number 22, and this is the warning that God gives to Belshazzar, and basically he's beyond being warned. He said, you ought to know this. Look at verse 22. It says, and thou his son, he's actually grandson, but they call grandsons sons also, but that thou his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. You knew what happened to Grandpa Nebuchadnezzar. Look at verse 23. But hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines, and have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, in whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? What was his problem? Pride. Was he brought down? Yep, that very night. He was invaded. His kingdom was invaded. And he lost his kingdom to the Medes and the Persians. Look at Hosea. Next book over now. Hosea, chapter number 7. Hosea 7, verse number 10. And this is talking about Ephraim, which was another name for the northern kingdom. One of the tribes, and a lot of times they were called Ephraim. But this is talking about Israel. Ephraim, it says in verse number 7, verse number 10, it says, And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. The pride of Israel. In other words, Ephraim was known for being lifted up in their heart in pride against the Lord. There's an unnamed psalmist also. Not all the psalms tell us who wrote the psalms. Not all of them were written by David. We know there were other psalmists, and there's some unnamed psalmists. And the unnamed psalmist of Psalm 10 and verse 4 said this, said, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." And that would apply to what we see in Amaziah's resistance to the word of the Lord from that unnamed prophet. Amen? Now, look at Jeremiah 43. Jeremiah 43, and we'll this is the last thing I want you to see regarding this matter of pride. Jeremiah, chapter 43, and verses number 1 and 2. Jeremiah 43, verse number 1. It says, "And it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people all the words of the Lord their God," what was he speaking? "What thus saith the Lord." Right? That's what he was speaking. He was speaking for God. It says, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words. "Then spake Azariah the son of Hoshea and Johanan the son of Kareah and all the proud men," did you get that? "All the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there." So what were they saying? "Well, you lying to us. God ain't sent you. God's not the one that said that. You're just saying that, Jeremiah. This is your will. This is not God's will." Now, I think we can clearly see that one of the reasons that we're given this story of Amaziah is to clearly see what pride will do if you don't get rid of it out of your life. Amen? I mean, there's a reason why these stories were given to us. And we need to look for the reason or reasons. And I believe that not only shows us how bad idolatry is, but it also shows us how bad pride can be in one's life. Now, back to our scripture in 2 Chronicles 25. Now, we're going to deal lastly here with verses 25 through 28, which we did not deal with at all last week. Let's read it right now. 2 Chronicles 25, verse 25. It says here, "And Amaziah the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived after the death of Joash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, 15 years." Now, that's kind of unusual. He outlived the king that defeated him by 15 years. But it says now, verse 26, "Now the rest of the acts of Amaziah, first and last, behold, are they not written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel?" Now, after the time that Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord, they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem. And he fled to Lachish. But they sent to Lachish after him and slew him there. And they brought him upon horses and buried him with his fathers in the city of Judah. Now, remember how Amaziah's father, Joash, died at the hands of conspirators? Here he is dying at the hands of conspirators himself. In fact, those were the ones, his father's conspirators, were the first ones that Amaziah dealt with when he assumed the throne of his father. He put them to death and spared their kids. Well, we see the same thing happen here to Amaziah. There was a conspiracy that rose against him in Jerusalem. Now, think with me. You think that the people of Jerusalem and Judah might have blamed Amaziah for the defeat against Israel? It was his fault. What about the breach in the city wall and all the loss that was incurred as the temple and the palace were spoiled by Israel and all the silver and gold was taken out of it? You think they blamed him for that? Probably so, and rightfully so. And that responsibility for defeat fell squarely on Amaziah's shoulders. Had he just stayed home, that war would have never taken place. Now we see he caught wind of the conspiracy and he ran to try to hide in Lachish. And we're not given the time frame here of how long he was on the run, how long he was in Lachish or anything like that. But Lachish was about 30 miles southwest of Jerusalem. And we're not told why he chose Lachish, but if you read about Lachish, I did a little research on it. It is one of the cities of the ancient kingdom of Judah. It was second in importance only to Jerusalem. I did not know that before I studied this. Second in importance only to Jerusalem. That's probably why he went there. He wanted to be in a big city. Can hide easier in a big city than you can in a small one. And so he went there. Well, he thought that anyway. You think there was a lot of people ready to sell him out? He probably thought, I could hide in the crowd. And what he got was probably somebody took and turned him in. Amaziah could run, but he could not hide. You know, it's kind of hard to hide when you have literally messed up royally. Pun intended. He messed up royally, didn't he? And people don't like you. And if they don't like you, they're willing to snitch on you. And I think we're not told here, but I bet that that's probably what happened. It's even harder when the Lord has it in for you. It's bad enough when people have it in for you, but when the Lord's got it in for you on top of that, You're in deep trouble. Judgment comes to the sinner who, in his pride, shuns the Lord. Judgment is sure, isn't it? But we need to also know that chastening comes to the believer who strays away from the Lord and allows pride to get in the way of making his return back to the Lord. I've seen believers who would not return because of pride. They would have to say, I'm wrong. And they didn't do it. And it wound up bringing about their destruction also. So let's guard ourselves against idolatry. So in our day and time, yep, whatever you put in front of God, that's an idol. Idolatry and then pride. Don't let pride bring you down. Amen. All right, that's our Bible study for this evening. Let's set that aside, pull out our prayer list. We'll pray for the needs, and we'll be dismissed.